Program for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Dish bed, bath, face, viva. Yeah, baby.
Are you in a good mood?
Woo!
How come?
Get it on.
How come?
Got to go home for 3 hours tonight and take a nap.
Good times.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oof.
Yeah, going home.
No, too late today?
I did my Comedy Central show during the day. Got out of there about 5:30 or so.
Oh, nice.
And sat in traffic for nine and a half hours. Nice. Awesome. This city is like an artery that's getting more and more plaque built up on it.
Oh, it sure is.
And closing and slowing, and the blood passing through the artery is slowing and slowing and slowing. And it's been going on for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps slowing, and all the doctors just stand around with their hands on their hips, and no one wants to put a shunt up there or
do something aggressive.
No one wants to do anything. And they say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a
problem.
Oh,
yeah, it's a problem. It is a problem.
It's patient's going to die soon.
Soon.
Anyway, what's for lunch?
Yeah, what's for lunch? It's too bad there's no technology that can solve this it's been around for a scant 70 years.
Well,
you know, buses and subways, tunnels and rails and
God
things
knows,
like that.
God knows we couldn't invest in building a bunch of signs and redirecting people with... Oh, no, wait, we have that.
You will be glad, Drew, that I had... A staff member over at
Call
Too Late. Yeah, Seth MacFarlane, by the way, Family Guy on tonight, does all the voices, reads the disclaimer for Major League Baseball.
Nice. And Stewie?
Does them all. Yes, that's what I do. I whipped him and made him my bitch. He's on tonight at 12 on Comedy Central. But I had my crack staff try to figure out what's going on in the city with those big freeway signs.
What'd they find out?
They said the ones that we pass under are down, or the one we pass under is down, but I pointed out there was two.
It just doesn't work?
that's their...
Except when there's an Amber Alert?
Yeah. Look, I mean, come on. Look, here's what we ought to do.
That's a classic L.A. County response.
Here's my plan. Here's my plan if I'm running the city. I'm just saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a buyout program. I'm going to go to the DMV. I'm going to go to Caltrans. I'm
privatize
going to go to
it.
Meter Maids. I'm going to go everywhere, and I'm going to go look. No, I'm not even going to privatize. I'm going to look. I've done some work. I've crunched some numbers. You, fat, slow, angry DMV employee. You, fat, slow, angry Caltrans employee. You're 33 years old. You're going to be working till you're 67. You're making 47 grand a year. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $5 million right now for you never to come back.
Oh, man.
And not replace them. I still say we save money as a city and are more efficient. Because we'd have to pay these guys like $7 million over the course of the next 35 years. Let's just front them the money.
Get it going.
Front them half, and they never have to come back.
It's a great idea.
Be awesome. And I don't think anyone would know the difference. Yeah, it still is potholes every 10 feet, and it's gridlock anyways. What's the difference?
Best tickets.
All right. Drew.
Yeah.
One other thing as it pertains to this. I heard some story. You know, we always talk about incentives.
Yes.
That's how you get people to change. Telling people to carpool, vanpool.
I don't want to pick nits here, but you can't make people change. But the incentives are just to encourage the behavior we want.
Yes.
They really won't change.
No, they won't change. Their hearts won't change, but you'll force change.
Some behavior. Yeah,
yeah,
some behavior.
Change of behavior. I just heard a study where... You know, GM and Ford and everything came out. They're like quarterly sales and earnings reports.
All the
big stuff's way down.
Oh, it's down. How about that?
Yeah. Way down.
Shocking.
I mean, the Ford Excursion and even the Explorer and the big trucks and
yes,
all
I
that
did see
stuff.
This article, yeah.
Boom, all down 25-30%. Why? Gas went up 75 cents over the last 6 months.
Who wants an SUV? Impossible.
That's right. It's $3.25 a gallon. Yeah. Boom. The day it's $3.25 a gallon. No more Ford Excursions. When it gets to $5 a gallon, no more Ford Explorers. That's the way it works.
Well, you want to get $5. Everyone's in hybrids and civics.
Well,
that's it.
Yeah, Well, I'm saying $5, you never sell another Explorer again.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going from there. You want to get people to carpool? You want to get people
just
out
do
of
the math.
You just, right. Make gas $10 a gallon and never buy another Hummer. Mm-hmm. That's it. All right. That's how it works. Sarah?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been seeing this guy for about a year. You know, we do our thing, have sex and everything, but it's like every time I get so wet that it messes it all up. You know what I mean? He goes soft. I don't really feel it anymore, and I don't know if that's normal, if there's something I could do about that.
It's not doesn't mean anything's wrong, but it's not typical. And some women do complain about this. I've certainly heard this before. We had something like this the other night.
Yeah, last night.
Well, she was having frequent discharge, which is slightly different.
How about maybe it's just me watching the Angels game in the background, but how about he put a little pine tar on that bat?
What?
You know what I mean? So we get a little grab.
Well, you'd use the bag. You'd have to put the pine tar. Just get
the rosin bag,
yeah.
Well, I think you'd throw the rosin bag in there, but then tar up the bat. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, the bat. Got it.
Put
got
some
it.
Pine tar in the
some
bat.
Some grip. Got it.
Yeah, get a little grip. Get a little grab. That's all. Mm-hmm. All right.
And so, Sarah, what I said last night that I think still stands tonight is that you could consider a progesterone-containing birth control pill or Depo-Provera. Sometimes that tends to cause a little drying, and that might be helpful.
Other than that, what else can you do about the Holocaust?
I guess put a tampon in and beforehand. There's really not much. I'm not aware of what you can do. And by the way, it's not that big a deal.
You want to ask Sarah what the Holocaust was?
And ask how big the guy's penis is, too, while you're at it.
Sarah?
Huh?
Two questions.
Yes.
Tell us what the Holocaust was and how big is his dork?
Wait, what are you talking about? Okay, I'm not understanding. I'm sorry.
Tell us what... Explain the Holocaust to us, if you would.
And the
then, and then tell us how big his penis is.
All right. Well, me myself, I'm about two fingers. You know what I mean? So it's not that big.
Dropped the F bomb as I was putting her on hold.
Yeah, we were not talking about. That was the weirdest answer of two specific questions I've ever heard.
Well, I asked it. I did ask it twice,
and clearly. And she went, oh, okay, got it now. And then went in a completely different direction.
Said she was about two fingers.
It's like this one, watch.
Are you a Mormon?
That's G14. That doesn't fall into play.
Are you Mormon?
Wow.
All right, I'm intrigued by Sarah now.
I know, but I'm... All right.
All right, Sarah. Let's do the Holocaust first.
Sarah, you cannot use profanity on the air.
I'm sorry.
All right. Just think fast and talk slow.
All right.
By the way, this needs to be the rallying call of all stupid people.
You're fat.
The rallying call of the dumb is think fast, talk slow. Yep. Right now, you guys are talk fast, think slow.
Yep.
That's trouble.
That's bad.
That is trouble. Because that's the thing where it's like you get pulled over and the cop's like, where are you heading? And you're like, over to my girlfriend's house to kill her? Oh, Christ. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Slow it down. Do some thinking. Yes?
Yes.
That's where the profanity comes out. You ever notice? They get a little head of steam. You know what it's like? You know what it's like for dumb people when you're talking?
Yeah.
Talking fast? Remember your kid and you'd be going down a hill on a skateboard? You'd be going too fast or getting a wobble, so you try to step off?
Yeah.
You take two steps and plow your face?
Yes.
Because you're going too fast.
Yep.
Legs can't keep up with the speed. All right. Now, Sarah.
Yes.
All right, nice and slow. Tell me what you know about the Holocaust.
The Holocaust?
Yes.
With the Jews?
Yes.
Yeah. And everything like that?
Yes.
Hitler?
Yeah. All right.
Where's this coming from? All right. Let's see.
Slow.
America turned their back on him, pretend it wasn't going on. Hitler almost took over all of Europe, in Russia. What was it? I know this word. I do. Mass murder that killed all the Jews.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
Well done, Sarah. Okay, now we'll listen for a while more.
No matter what piece of history you explain, there's always something America should have done. we turned our back on. Yeah,
that's how that's being educated.
By the way, when you're across an ocean and something's going on in another land, namely Europe.
And by the way, you've been isolationist for 150 years.
Yes, and this is during a time when there's no aircraft that can actually make it from here to there in one hop. How do you turn your back? Like, here's all I'm saying. Do we ever blame Germany or England for turning their back on the race riots we had here in the 60s?
Right.
Germany, France, they turned their back on us, man. What?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, what about, you know, I'll tell you what really, really, really steams my bean is the Middle East and Africa turning their backs on this country. The times when what turned their back on us on 9/11, turned their back on us during the civil rights movements, the riots, turned their back on us. What about when the stock market fell through in 29 or 27 or whatever the hell that was?
It is kind of interesting when the
Africa turned their back on us.
But it's kind of how the world thinks about the predominant power. I mean, when we were having the Revolutionary War, the French turned their back on us until they came in and blockaded.
Right.
So there's something to that.
Yeah. All right. But I'm just saying, Germany decides to start gathering up folks from Europe and putting them in ovens, and we are 6,000 miles away, turn our back.
Yeah.
Or at least where I am. I'm 6,000 miles away. Turn our back.
So did we finish with Sarah?
I have no idea.
How big his...
Yeah. Well, she's two fingers worth, Sarah.
That's good.
Yeah.
How big is your boyfriend?
He's about 5'6".
I knew that was coming.
What is it? What do you mean? I already asked you what about how big he was before.
Slow, baby. You're saying he wasn't too big and you're about two fingers worth.
Well, he's pretty big. It's not like it's small or nothing.
Okay. That's what we're asking. There's an anatomical problem.
Two fingers flat or two fingers vertical?
It's all the same.
Is it?
I mean, you know. It's a pretty resilient area.
All right.
It's average.
All right. Who are we going to talk to? Caitlin?
Yeah. Caitlin's my hero.
Why, what'd she do?
You'll see.
Caitlin?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening, baby doll?
I just have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant. I'm 4 months pregnant, and I'm giving my baby up for adoption.
Yeah. All right.
And I just need to know, I did drugs for like 4 years. I got clean in January. I just wanted, do I need to put that on there? Because it asked me on there a lot if I've ever used drugs.
Yeah, I would because it helps the child in terms of their medical history. It doesn't change
the
adoption.
That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to put there's a history of drug addiction because there are on both sides of our family.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it's important to know that you did it too, I got to tell you.
I don't know, I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if they really need, like I asked my mom, she's like, well, they don't really need to know, but I sort of feel
it's
like
it's important for the child, not for anybody else. It's interesting that
that's an awesome conversation to have with your mom. We should all hope, Drew, as a parent, I hope in a few short years you have that discussion with one of your children.
About her adopted.
Pregnant. Giving up a kid for adoption. We're talking about how to fill out the questionnaire. Application. Yeah, I mean, can't I just say history of drug abuse? I have to check the box. It says marijuana.
Says
the one says meth. Yeah, Mom. Mom, I'll tell you what. Go get your old paperwork. Let's take a look at that.
And then Doc Smith says gonorrhea and chlamydia. Do I put both of them?
Okay, just write the clap. Caitlin?
Yeah.
Yeah. What drugs were you doing?
Speed.
Just a lot. I mean, Oxycontin. Mainly Oxycontin.
Oh, really? And you're sober from that now?
Ooh. Huh?
Mm-mm-mm. You're not taking anything right now?
No, I've been clean for 8 months.
No, nothing. No methadone, no Buprenex. No methadone or anything like that?
No. I just went to rehab and came out.
You need to stay with the program. It's easier to manage that biology as a teenager, interestingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the power of the opiates is not quite as intense until the age of 18 when the withdrawal stuff, the syndromes kick in, the intensity of the drives become different. So really pay attention to this. Do not use them again. It'll be a bad time.
I'm not going to.
Well, statistically,
right.
You are.
All right. And is your dad around?
Yeah. No, my family's fine. It's not anything to do with that.
Okay.
How'd you get strung out on drugs?
I mean, my brother did them, and I just sort of hung out with people who did them. Started, kept going. That was about it.
All right. Your biological dad's there?
Oh, no.
Well, I was adopted, too, which is sort of screwed up.
Now it's coming together.
Yeah.
See?
How old were you when you were adopted?
I was just a baby.
All right.
How old?
There you go. Well, baby.
But how old?
Like literally like 4 days old or
okay,
something.
Okay, good. Right. Excellent. Perfect.
There you go.
Good.
All right, good work.
Okay.
And you know what the odds of this kid getting pregnant and giving someone up for adoption?
Yeah, are bad.
Actually, the probability of that, the adoption, the pregnancy, better than the addiction part.
Oh, you mean
the
better?
Addiction's about 50%. The
right.
Pregnancy and adoption is about 95%.
Well, you know, we bust everyone's chops, but, you know, 16, 4 months pregnant, giving the kid up for adoption, strung out on Oxycontin. And it's like, where's your dad? Oh, he's right here. Huh?
And they were like, huh? What?
No. What's up? Because here's the thing. Everything's just a repetitive cycle. That's all.
There's an equation with
you. You're giving your kid up for adoption. Well, what happened? You got adopted. Your dad. What's going on? That's how it works. Mm-hmm. This is why, by the way, we must do nothing but profile. This is why you profile. The whole reason you profile is so you can get to the Caitlins before Caitlin gets pregnant.
And it doesn't diminish her dignity as a human being or as an individual. It just her brain is going to operate under a set of principles like every other brain. And
right.
You can predict what's going to help her and what she's likely to do and how to intervene.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I think a lot of people, getting to somebody when they're 13 and trying to prevent them from being pregnant by 14 is not an attack on that person.
Especially by virtue of saying, look, we've looked at your profile and you're at risk. So we want to help you.
I know. I don't understand why that becomes an assault on their persona. You know, it's like if they were way behind in their reading at age 12 and somebody said, look, you're functionally illiterate right now. We're scared you're going to go push through the system and be out trying to fill out a job application when you're 18 and just
we got to intervene.
Scribbling a happy face on it. We're gonna get you and we're gonna give you some help.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, why don't you help this kid over? Well, he's
right.
Appears to be reading pretty well, so I know it's getting cathartic. Ooh. I wish someone got hold of me.
A little scary.
David?
Yes, sir. Adam. How's it going, boss?
Good.
I'm just calling because I wanted to thank you. Because you gave me a pointer about a year and a half ago. To do the puppeteer trick. I'm a male dancer, and I've been doing that ever since, and it's a huge hit at my bar.
Hold on. I'm trying to process the penis move?
Yeah, the penis move, yeah. With an imaginary string when I kind of bounce it up and down.
He's a male stripper.
Yeah, you do the little marionette move where you get, I don't know if he's allowed to
give. He
gives
himself an erection?
I don't know if he gives it to him.
Oh, boy.
I give me mine. Sometimes I trade with other people.
Yeah.
And... You know, when we go on the road, I'll give you an erection, you give me an erection.
And then we trade the Yu-Gi-Oh cards after that.
Yeah. And you get a little erection, the penis sticks out, sticks out about...
Okay, enough. I get the visual.
Well, you know, if your torso's high noon, the penis sticking out about 245, 230, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you put your hand over it about 14 inches, like you're controlling a marionette, and you do that move.
The up and down, like you're making a dance.
That's funny.
And this,
you ever see that?
Is this part of the Survivor
Michelle,
dance?
You ever see a penis? No.
Is this part of the Survivor dance? You ever
see
a penis?
Oh, yeah. Drew, show you hers. I don't want the first one. She used to be mine. I went, just point the girl. Do the puppet. Drew, what? I know.
So it's this.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. You do that thing. And most guys, it's weird, but you can do it. There's no practice.
Well, younger guys especially can do it.
It's right.
The more muscular tone that area.
Right. So this is, you know, it's a good time.
Sure.
Yeah.
David?
Extra tips.
Yes,
now.
The idea of giving yourself, getting an erection face in front of all these
ladies
is weird.
Yeah, well, I bet you he's not fully erect when he does his stripper stuff.
Actually, I am. What I do is I kind of use to stay tied off. And I come out there with a full boner, and I do the I call it the birthday bounce.
Mm-hmm. And
isn't that a little?
Are you totally nude at this point?
Totally nude. At first I thought it would be corny too, but I came out there and the chicks, they go crazy. It's insane. I mean, just the control that I got, they go nuts. It's crazy.
Well, these aren't chicks; these are ladies. First off. Not just
well,
chicks.
Yeah, you're right. Correct.
And you go out there. Now you're dancing at private parties.
No, actually, I work at a bar. It's a strip club. It's Danny's of Windsor, across from
Detroit. One would hope it's it's not a gentleman, you know, it's not like a chess and baccarat club, no, you know. I get the strip club part because if it's just a standard bar, like just a TGI Fridays, you can't come out with the C-ring and the erection. You know, that's
I'm
not going to last.
I'm surprised they can, even in a strip bar.
It's like simulating
sex acts in a way.
Well, guys at the strip, they wear their little banana hammocky thing and stuff, but I didn't know that the thing was coming completely out with the erection, David.
Yeah. In Windsor, it's a different law.
Okay.
Yeah, we're allowed to do it over there in Ontario, Canada. It's full nudity.
It was in Canada.
Oh, I see. You're going to Windsor. Okay. Isn't there Windsor, Detroit, too?
Windsor, Michigan.
Yeah, it's right across. Michigan, yeah. I live in Detroit. It's right across the river, 20 minutes.
Right, but there's a Windsor, Michigan, and a Windsor, Canada?
Yeah, I believe there is a Windsor, Michigan, but it's probably a little hick town.
You're in Windsor, Canada.
Yes, sir.
So, if you can do it there.
If you're in that GM building and looking across the river, is that Canada across the river there?
Yeah, that's Canada right across, correct.
Wow. So you go over there and you dance, and now when you have the erection and the erection is flying around, what else? Anyone ever grab hold of it?
No, we're on stage. We're too far away. They don't have the opportunity.
All right. You ever get with any of the chicks?
Sure.
Oh, of course, man. The hotel parties after are insane.
How's the hotel party work?
Well, worse because bachelorettes are coming over there and they got their group of girls and then they're like, "Hey, want to come back to the hotel, hang out, party?" And just the mayhem that goes down is I don't know. Like I tell all my friends is if I die tomorrow, I've experienced everything that I've ever wanted to experience in life.
Oh boy. So.
That's awesome. And you ever do anything with any of the like bridesmaids or brides? Ever any of the brides to be?
Oh man, I tell you what, if the bachelors could only see what their bachelorettes do when they're not around, I'm sure a lot of marriages wouldn't be happening. It's kind of sad.
Really? What is? I mean, you ever just have straight sex with them?
With a bachelorette?
Yeah.
Me personally, nah. It's usually BJ's and stuff.
BJ's.
Yeah.
In a group setting, or you go to a bedroom with them?
No, you come in there. I mean, you have like four or five girls on you after work in the hotel. I mean, they don't care. It's no shame. I mean, you know, they walk into that place and something triggered, and you know, they're pure sex.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You know, wow.
It's crazy.
Nice. All right. And getting tipped. I should be getting a piece of this action, by the way.
Why? Because
I taught him the puppet move that has led to all this, all the BJs and all the dancing at the hotels and all that stuff. Here's the thing about women. I really feel like once they get whipped up, they become, you know what they are? They're like sharks.
Yeah.
Sharks, you think of are like men, but they're like women, which is sharks are mostly docile.
Yeah, they're quiet.
They're supposed to be killers, but they mainly just swim around and mind their own business. And even if you're in the water next to them, they just swim past you. They get a little curious sometimes. Once you get a little blood in the water and you get them whipped up and you get a little of that frenzy thing,
they get a group
and there's
frenzy.
A piece of meat floating around and one of them grabs it and scurries, other two will bite it and stuff like that. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You get, there ain't no chicks going to male strip clubs alone. They're not just sitting there alone.
Right.
There's not two of them. Like the deal is me and my buddy could go to a strip club if we were in Vegas, but there's no two chicks that are just going to go sit there alone. But they get in a group, they go out, the booze starts flowing.
The chum enters the tank.
That's chum in the waters now. And then they get whipped up.
They get
gone. And then the puppet comes flying out with the C-ring and pow, they bite.
But those women would never see a prostitute.
No.
Never.
No, they would never see a prostitute, and they probably, this is why I was sort of poking around, probably wouldn't even just leave with the guy and go to the next room.
Well, it has to be in the frenzy.
Now, if this is guys, it's like, listen, I'm going to go with her in the bathroom for about somewhere between 7 and 12 minutes. I will pay a little more. But to understand the sloppy seconds principle.
Well, also there's that the eye of the tie, the yeah, deadly like, serious.
Okay, yeah, like, everyone. Hey, dude. Maintain. Seriously.
And it's required. I'm gonna go over here.
I'm taking Chandra and Jade. Like the guy's hoarding. Really taking Chandra and Jade.
Just listen. Just a second,
dude. okay?
They're fine with it. They're fine
Do you understand who your bro is? They're quiet and listen to me. First off, okay. Okay, stop. Okay, if I hear anything else about the minibar, I swear, Christ, dude, would you just maintain and listen? I'm going to take Chandra and Jade into the suite, okay? You need to stay here because I need a point man. I need someone to keep it cool. All right, now I'm paying three, okay? Someone's going to make an ATM run. Okay. If you bring up the minibar,
I'm going.
You go down to the casino. I'm going to give you my PIN number, okay, dude? But I need you to be cool. I'm going to take Chandra and Jade into the bathroom. We're going into the bathroom. Is there a lock on the door of the suite? Okay. We're going. I don't want to hear about the minibar. That's what guys do. The chicks, they're just having a good time. The peeing. Don't do it. I dare you. No, that's it. That's what chicks do. But they're like screwing around. Guys get all
serious.
Think
it's funny. It's not funny for the guys. Guys, that's not funny.
Oh, guy, chick's like a cat that kills a moth, doesn't want to eat it. It's just, it's flopping around. It's having a good time. It's playing around. Moth's dead, but not because the cat hated it or wanted to eat or was hungry. Cat was hungry. Guys, serious. Mm-hmm. Hey, dude. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Yeah, it's my song, System of a Down. Yeah. Hardest rocking Armenian band in the Glendale Burbank area. That's what I got to say about that band. Good guys, good rock, good falafel. That should be their creed.
Yeah.
Good guys, good rock, good falafel.
Or just name a new restaurant's, you know, banner over the restaurant entrance.
Yeah, we're eating at the, these guys are heroes in Glendale over at the Armenian joint. Hey, how about we order the sandwich? No! You eat in the parking lot. Yeah. You remember the whole thing that was funny about when we went out? We went out to dinner with System of a Down. They took us to their favorite restaurant. And the thing that was funny about it is the restaurant knew System of a Down.
Yes.
They're heroes to them. You know, these are Armenian rockers and they're idols. And we ordered something that was on the menu, but it was only to go.
Right. And they'd been talking about it for a couple of days. So
and they'd said, and
you gotta have the chicken sandwich.
John or Shava or something said, yeah, I know it's to go, but just serve it up to us here. No!
Well, bring in the bag, give it to me. He said,
no!
Give me the bag, put
no!
it, hand, I, hand can it to I, me outside the restaurant, and
no!
I'll bring it back.
No, no! Can I have autograph for kids? It's awesome. And they're principled people. Their principle is they love to say no. Michelle,
yeah. 20, there you are.
22, what's up?
Caller who's going by Michelle, at least.
Here we go.
Anyways, before I got married to my husband, I cheated on him, and I wanted to know if I should tell him, because I do want to stay with him.
You mean just before you got married?
No, it was about a year before we got married.
Forget it.
Who'd you cheat with?
Somebody from work.
Hmm. And one time, or did you have a relationship?
It was, I don't know, it was weird. We had sex three different times, but it was, I mean, we couldn't even finish, so it was like.
Nice.
He couldn't finish?
Yeah.
How long had you been with your husband at that time?
3 years.
How long has it been? Since you cheated on him.
We can do the math.
A year and a half.
So you've been married. You've been married a year. Wait a minute. You said a year and a half. You cheated on him. So you just got married.
We just got married 2 months ago.
Oh. All right. And now, why? Now the guy at work. Like, quiet. Did you have feelings for the guy at work?
No.
No.
I think I was kind of checked out of the relationship. I didn't really want to be with him then.
Yeah.
I do now, and I just realized how
stupid it was, not from cheating on him. But
well, you're basically, you were 20 years old at the time.
What?
People in their late teens and 20s treat each other like crap. Yeah, the relationships were always tumultuous. You, as it is, you got married young. Got married, you committed yourself. Just let it go. Let it go. The only
like
possible reason...
Now. I want to stay with him now.
Well, the only reason you could have... Well, the only reason you could have for wanting to tell him is to screw things up now. That's the only motivator. So
well,
if you have trouble tolerating close relationships,
no,
that's why you want to tell him.
All right, well, hold on. Quiet down and listen to the Ace Man for a second, because I'm windy, baby. Here's the thing. It's good now. I just don't want to lose him. Let's just go. Forget about we're talking about relationships. Let's talk about a job.
Yeah.
I had a job 2 years ago. I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't know what I was doing. So I stole a bunch of supplies. Now, 2 years later, I realize how lucky I am to have this gig. I love my boss.
I'll never
I love
do that
my
again.
Coworkers. And I feel bad about stealing. And I'm really worried I'm going to lose it. So I'm going to march in my boss's office and tell him I ripped off a copier machine 2 years ago.
No way.
No way.
Yeah. It's the same exact reasoning in the relationships.
No, you love your job. You love your boss.
You'll never do it again.
Show up early tomorrow and bring some donuts.
Right. You'll never do it again. Don't do it again. That's the greatest sort of...
Nobody would ever dream of this scenario if it was that work stealing crap scenario. Not in a million years.
It's the same. It's a perfect model for a relationship.
Thank you, baby doll. Michelle?
Yes?
Now, what's up? So now we're suspicious.
Well, I was just afraid. Just little things make me think he's suspicious, like, and the way he talks about the guy. And I'm just afraid if he doesn't trust me and he suspects if I fess up, if that'll make the trust stronger. Or
No, please.
No? Okay.
No.
Where's your dad? Is he around? Did he cheat on your mom?
No, he never did.
And your dad's around and you love him and everything's cool?
My parents are, yes.
I think you're just making too much of this.
You're up in your head.
Let people, listen, young people do screwy things. You're an adult now, you're older. You committed yourself to this thing. Make it good going forward.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
It's like the telltale heart.
But
Edgar Allan Poe. But he hears the thumping coming from beneath the
Nathaniel
floorboard.
Hawthorne.
Oh, Nathaniel Hawthorne. It wasn't a Poe thing?
No, it was the House of Seven Gables, wasn't it?
What was the one where the thumping
was
coming from
under
the
heart? And he found this heart made of stone down there and stuff or something. Isn't that one?
No.
Oh, you're talking about the one where the people were buried under the floorboards.
I'm talking about hearing the thumping. See, here's what happened. Here's the story. I think it's Edgar Allan Poe.
Maybe.
The person kills his wife or whoever and buries them under the floorboards underneath the house. Then, you know, company comes over, the inspector comes over, and the person, he is hearing the thumping coming from down below. No one else is hearing the thumping. And then the person finally yells, I confess.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're the only one hearing the thumping.
Right.
That's my right. retarded, lengthy
well
point.
Another good point.
Which is, your husband doesn't know anything, and... Even if he says, I know something, he doesn't know anything. Don't crack. Don't tell him. It'll screw things up. Tell him. Stick by your guns. Don't guilt yourself into cracking.
People in their 20s treat each other like S.
I know.
They do in relationships. They just do. Now, you want to be a grown-up? You're married now? Fine. Stop that. Fine. Good. Let it go forward.
All right. Let's keep going. Michelle, look up Telltale Heart, would you?
It's called The Telltale Heart?
I thought it
could
was.
Be.
That was an Edgar Allan Poe.
It could be.
With
it could
the
be.
Floorboards.
It could be.
Boards. Yeah. Look, the only book I've ever read in my life is The Phantom Tollbooth, though. So
well, no,
I'm not the odds on favorite
is, I
for
think
this
there
one.
Is a Poe Telltale Heart.
Jessica?
Yes.
21? What's up?
Yeah. Well, about a year and a half ago, I started having heartburn, but it was only when I would lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8 months ago, I started having it all the time, and I have a stomach pain as well, and I don't know, I'm kind of worried that I might have an ulcer, and I'm wondering if I should, you know, I haven't gotten to get checked out because I don't have medical coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why does it make a difference to you whether you have an ulcer or esophagitis? Why is that a big distinction for you?
Well, either way, you got to go get checked out, right?
Yeah, both are, one's an erosion in the duodenum or the stomach, the other's an erosion in the esophagus.
Well,
both need treatment.
It doesn't really make a difference to me. But,
no, okay. So you have what?
I have a lot of dental work, so I don't want that to get ruined either.
Well, ulcers have nothing to do with dental work. I don't know what
you're
saying.
Are you throwing up?
Sometimes. I'll wake up in a big, you know.
Well, all this
I don't have to swallow.
Well, it's still, that doesn't. It's an interesting point that if your stomach acid gets all the way to your mouth, it can affect dental work. But that's at 21. That's very. Are you obese?
No.
Because that's about the only way that happens. But you're describing gastroesophageal reflux.
Why have you had a lot of dental work?
I had braces for 3 years, and they weren't properly taken care of.
Oof.
Not by me, but they never took the brackets off to clean underneath and everything like that.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
And you don't have bulimia or anything of that sort?
No.
You're not using a lot of aspirin or Advil or Nuprin?
Aspirin sometimes.
Okay, well, stop.
I have headaches.
Stop all the aspirin and anti-inflammatories. That may be the whole story here.
Right, it's tough on the belly, huh?
Yes. But you're describing reflux, and just take some Pepcid over the counter, take about 40 milligrams a day. And you should have this evaluated also to see why at 21 you're having such serious problems.
Yeah, that Pepcid and stuff like that works pretty good, and it wasn't available over the counter a few years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So now, I mean, people are in pretty good shape with that stuff, right?
Yeah, this controversy about, you know, how long it should be treated before something more aggressive is done. But 21, this should be sort of figured out why it's so severe for her at such a young age.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, play a little Germany or Florida with young Matt, all that after this.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
Loveline. Woo! Get it on. Yeah, gotta get it on. No choice. You know what I'm about to do, Drew? This close to dropping trap.
No, don't do it.
I'll drop trap.
Don't drop trap.
I'll drop trap.
I'll drop trap. I swear he might do it. This guy will do it.
Michelle, you're going to see his second penis in the last 14 years when I drop trap. If you can see it from there.
You do the puppet routine?
I'll show you the puppet. I'll give you the marionette. I'll throw in his buddy, Senior Saxus. Too. Oh, yeah. Talking scrotum. 8:22 after 8 o'clock. Ready to get rocking here?
Yeah, let's go.
So, Telltale Heart, Edgar Allan Poe, and was...
Was
the talking from under the...
yes, that was Telltale Heart. Nathaniel Hawthorne, Ethan Brand was one I was thinking of with the heart burned in a limestone pit.
Do you ever ask yourself why you're always thinking of something different than what I'm thinking? You ever think about that one?
It must be oppositional defiance. Huh. Must be.
Sees very clearly in others, but yeah.
It wasn't talking under the floorboard, so it was heartbeating.
That's what he said.
I said thumping or something like that.
I thought he said talking.
No.
Speaking of oppositional defiance, Anderson.
Yeah, I didn't want to get Drew off the hot seat there.
Thanks, buddy. You didn't get him off the seat, you just sat on his lap. Matt?
Hello?
Germany or Florida, baby? Time to play.
All right.
What do you say?
All right, can I start off with a story about your send a fat cat to Washington?
Hold on.
Yeah. Hold on.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
I start laughing and anticipating that ending. Yeah, give us a story, Matt, or your own personal story, and then give us to Germany or Florida.
We had an election today, a little mock debate, and the whole time I just blew hard and just talked about how we need to send a message to the fat cats in Washington.
Oh.
Is this in speech class or debate, speech and debate class? Yeah. Awesome.
Matt,
yeah.
The blowhard.
I really do think you could get elected just based on that.
I picked up the mic and just went in front of everyone and just blew hard.
Smart, yeah. Yeah, Matt's referring to what I was talking about a few weeks back, which is I'm convinced somebody could get elected by just saying a vote for me is a message to those fat cats in Washington.
Well, you know what?
That's all you'd ever have to say.
Through American history, it's been a fat cat somewhere. It's Washington was going to get the fat cats in corporate industry, or I was going to become president, get the fat cats at the bank, or I'm going to get the fat cats in Congress.
Yeah.
It's always somewhere specific, depending on what period of history it is. But it's the exact same concept.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead, Matt. Give me the Germany or Florida.
All right. A man strips off naked and declares himself a guest exhibit at a respected museum. It happened during an exhibition on antique pictures of Jesus Christ. According to visitors, the man, 58, suddenly removed his clothes and climbed onto a table next to one of the pictures. When police arrived, the man was still standing in the same position. He was arrested and charged with exhibitionism and breach of the peace. The museum director called the uninvited addition to his exhibition regrettable, but added, at least none of the real artwork was damaged.
All right. Well, I think we're both going Germany on this one.
Two strong reasons.
Well, two. Well, one is, well, go ahead. Tell me what your thing is.
They referred to a disturbance of the peace or something that Florida doesn't even register on their scales.
Right.
And then art museums and happenings.
Yeah, museums, yes. The only museum they have in Florida is a drag racing museum. That's where that's their Big Daddy Don Garlitz Swamp Rant. One is Swamp Rant. Two is in Swamp Rant. Three, yeah, they have a drag racing museum. I don't think they have any art. I think they're confused. I think if you brought up art in Florida, they just think you were talking about a guy.
Named Art.
Yeah. His full name's Arthur, but he's an informal guy.
Germany.
We're going Germany.
All right, you're right. Germany.
Yeah. But thanks, Matt. And good job. And like
we
I said,
send a message to the fat cats in Washington.
Keep an eye on where the fat cats are and just focus your venom on them and you get elected.
Yeah, they're in Washington. But again, they may move to industry or banking or something like
that.
Right.
Andrew Jackson got elected by the fat cats in the banks.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt, fat cats in the local politics and the political machinery.
Let's talk. You want to talk to Alex?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good. Alex?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, kind of a two-part question about masturbation. I was born with a lot of congenital heart problems and respiratory problems, and I wanted to talk about how on occasion, not all the time, once I finish masturbating, I tend to have, I get sick. It starts kind of a nauseousness, and it feels literally kind of like a food poisoning sickness in the stomach, and I've never quite vomited, but, you know, my heart rate's usually pretty elevated and things like that. And it didn't used to be as serious as it has been.
Yeah, I think this is actually you're having a biological reaction. What was your original cardiac problem, like tetralogy or something?
Really hard for me to explain. I don't know. I think
what's the name?
I think it's referred to as Kushner's defect or endocardial Cushman.
Yeah, endocardial Cushing's defect.
Yeah, and I've had a pulmonary banding put around my main artery and like a Blaylock Taussig shunt into the right lung. So
Eisenmenger's? Does that sound familiar?
I'm sorry?
Eisenmenger's? Does that sound familiar?
I'm aware of that. No, I don't think that.
That's not what you have to
say. How did it affect you? I mean, you couldn't play sports, right?
Actually, they pretty much considered me to be a medical miracle.
He wasn't supposed to survive the first few days.
First surgery was done at 6 weeks old.
Yeah.
All right, how does it affect you now?
Okay, obviously, stamina is not nearly normal. My oxygen, my sats are pretty low, but I've been in martial arts on and off for years. I play pretty rough. I've done soccer when I was little.
Are you small in stature?
Yeah, very. I'm 27, but I weigh probably 105 pounds. No fat on my body. I mean,
are you a virgin?
Oh, no.
Oh, how dare you.
Got with a prostitute once.
Do you wear oxygen?
I'm sorry?
Do you wear oxygen?
Not very often. When I do, it's usually at night for sleeping. They've seen my heart rate in the low
30s. Hold on.
Let me say this. I'd like to hang out with a guy who was on oxygen just so I could get a hit off at every once in a while when Cousin Sal or Jimmy started blowing some ass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're in the back of the car. They roll the windows up. They turn the heater on.
Put the mask
on. They start blowing ass. And I'd be like, let me get a draw off that. Can I get a couple draws off that? You'll be fine.
They wear the nasal cannula. You want the mask.
I'd still get a hit off that.
I'm sure.
And then look, take a nice draw and then give me a break. Like we're buddy breathing, you know. Like
a regulator?
Yeah, like we're underwater and I'm trapped. Used to be a lot of guys getting trapped underwater.
Yeah.
I grew up, every third guy had something roll over on his foot while he was underwater and he was trapped there.
Yeah.
Trapped underwater. Uh-huh. No one gets trapped underwater anymore. They just drown, but no one gets trapped.
Remember, Mr. Geniality, too, had that. You would may not have seen that cinematic triumph, but
no, but I'm going to catch on DVD. But people go swimming. You know, they go down Explorer Rack. If you're going to look in a shipwreck and it's time to head up, something rolled over and got your foot. You get trapped under stuff.
Yeah, never your pelvis or your...
No, it always gets trapped, just your leg. Your leg. And there's never any blood or anything. It's just some I-beam rolled over and you couldn't get it out.
Right.
And okay. Let me tell you this, Drew. If I had 2 minutes of oxygen left and something rolled over on my foot, there's nothing heavy enough for me not to be able to get my foot out. Eventually, I just have to break my foot off or something, but I would get it out.
All right, Alex.
Yeah.
What are your current... Alex.
Oh, that's Alex. Sorry, I punched up Mark. Yeah.
Alex, what are your current medications?
None.
Okay, none. So the real question here is, are you triggering an arrhythmia when you get all excited and have a ejaculation, that sort of thing? And how fast does your heart go? Do you know? Do you check it?
Just normal.
No, when you said you have a tachycardia, you have a rapid heart rate. When you finish masturbating, you feel nauseated. Do you check how fast it's going? Do you count it?
Oh, no, I never really have.
All right, because anything over 140, and that's real serious.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're actually triggering an arrhythmia, what's called a supraventricular tachycardia, and those can make you feel sick.
All right.
I would definitely talk to your cardiologist about this and tell them exactly how you triggered it. It's all right.
Well, you go there, they put the probes on you, and you get on the jack mill. You start checking yourself out.
And Adam, Adam has become an expert at jacking at doctor's offices. This is what he does.
That's my new gig. I will take a break. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's that, Anderson?
Fort Minor.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Those are my boys. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Ready to take some phone calls?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's speak to Mark or James.
Mark?
Adam, you're God.
Oh,
yeah! Thanks, right. Buddy.
And Dr. Drew, what's it called? The dime, that joke that you made.
Oh yeah, the dime for
the one that was actually funny.
Dime for scale.
I couldn't stop.
Dime for scale.
I couldn't stop laughing for like half an hour, man. That was
noted that Drew made a joke and a very funny joke. About.
What was it about? I don't remember anymore.
And I wonder how long ago it was. Was it 8 months, a year?
I think, yeah.
A year, but whatever it was, Drew said something funny.
It was funny. I just thought about that tonight. For the
what
first
was
time.
It we were talking about?
I don't know, but tonight was one of the first times she made a joke again, and I can't remember that joke.
I made a joke tonight?
Yeah, it was funny.
Mark?
That was the first one since the dime.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mark. Do you remember Drew's dime for scale joke?
Yeah, it was the hymen. And you wanted to report back some girl to report back to you in 6 months, and you wanted to see her hymen, and Drew said, "And use a dime for scale."
Put a dime in there for scale, so we make sure it's the
Like when you take
you said put the newspaper in. I think.
Oh, I said I had to get you started on the joke road. Yeah. When a picture of the hymen with a current newspaper in there, with the date showing, we could see like they do in kidnapping.
And I want a dime in there for scale.
Dime for scale. And what that basically means, kiddies, is like, it's like when they're saying this battery is micro small or something, and they'll put a quarter or a dime in relation. That's right. Go ahead, Mark.
And by the way, I wasn't meaning it as a joke. I was serious.
Dead serious. Go ahead, Mark.
All right, well, my dad, he's been doing drugs for forever, and as long as, my mom's been telling me, and it turns out, like, a lot of my family, like my brothers, and he has other family and, different, I guess, wives or whatever, and a lot of them are drug addicts, and his drug was cocaine, and a lot.
What's your question?
Two of my brothers are
got it. What is the question? What is the question, Mark?
Does it run in the family? Or what?
Absolutely. Addiction is a genetic disorder, and we've isolated a couple of genes. There's one called a proline serine substitution in a part of the brain called the GABA-A receptor, and there's also the LL allele of the serotonin transporter, both of which are genetic mechanisms that tend to cause the evidence of the existence of these genes is resistance to intoxicating effects of alcohol.
Mm.
It makes it harder to get loaded. You have personality changes, but you don't have the motor intoxicating effects so readily.
And now say that again.
Well, you know, if you notice alcoholics, they very quickly get kind of you notice that they're drinking.
Right.
But if you put them on a, you know, motor skills measurements, they do better than the average person.
I know. That's why I want my heavyweight designation on my license.
That's what I'm saying.
I blow 0.08. That ain't a dude like me.
That's three beers?
Are you kidding?
That LL serotonin transporter. And it's about 50% per child. The only exception I've seen to that, the probability, so if you get it, Mark, it doesn't sound like you have the gene. And the other corollary is gene is not destiny.
It's a horrible family, too, which is going
to
help.
Having the gene, though, does not mean you're necessarily going to have the disease. The only other exception to the 50% rule that I've seen is Cherokee Indian. North American Indian tends to have more like 100% gene presence.
That's where I get my tenacity. I'm 126 Cherokee. Mark?
Yeah, so is there anything I could do about my brothers? Like, what could I, you know?
They can go to treatment.
Mark, here's the best thing you can do, though, is take care, you know.
Take care of you, yeah.
Yeah, make sure you have a good, profitable life, and then you can pay for everyone else's ass later on.
Right. And to confront them about their disease and how it affects you and what you see happening to them, and ask them to please get some treatment. They will probably not be willing to do that.
All right. Well, thanks anyways.
Okay. What are you doing, Mark? What's your plan?
Well, right now I'm just taking real estate classes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
Real estate agent, yeah. So,
Mark, you're fine, buddy.
All right.
I'm sorry that your family's the way it is, but, you know, we've heard much worse. Of course, we've heard better, but we've heard much worse, too. You'll be fine. Stick with that real estate.
All right, cool.
Stay away from drugs and keep remembering Drew's jokes. He makes a yearly joke.
Repeat them worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this, Drew? Another marker for alcoholism. What about not going down? What about what I have, where I have an Ambien and a couple of Bloody Marys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm standing in the galley of the airplane talking to Alec Baldwin for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he knows I'm jacked up.
Right.
He doesn't know I'm out of my mind. I'm standing in an airplane talking to him for an hour and a half. I have an Ambien and two Bloody Marys.
It's hard to know with you because
I slept for 4 hours the night before.
You have the hypervigilance thing that's, you know, a separate phenomenon. It's not just that you're resistant to intoxication. You have hypervigilance all the time.
Right.
And you may just be the hypervigilance, maybe overdriving the intoxication, which is different than not getting intoxicated.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure with you whether it's addiction or just that hypervigilance syndrome.
Well, let me just ask you this. If you took 10 alcoholics and 10 non-alcoholics and you gave all of them an Ambien, what do you think would happen? What do you think the difference between the two groups would be?
I don't know. I'd imagine the alcoholics would be harder to take down.
I bet the alcoholics would sort of stay up and enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And whereas the non-alcoholics would just doze right off.
They would get more euphoria. Because they do tend to get more euphoric.
They'd be like, this is bitching.
Yeah, and they would be harder to sedate. Yeah.
Yeah, they might just be effed up and watch TV for 2 hours. And if you gave non-alcoholic that, they go down like you got hit with a tranquilizer dart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I'm saying is when you prescribe drugs or medicine, as you like to call them, when you score drugs like this, this should factor in.
Well, we're talking now in the next, you know, 30, 40 years about having genetic testing and using medication specific for your genetic profile.
Right.
So we're going to get there.
Because, yes, it's the same medication. It's totally different on my wife than it is on me. Mm-hmm. So why don't I get more?
And that's just intoxicating and sedation, that sort of thing. Imagine you're trying to control blood pressure or mood or all these other things. I mean,
we'll get a little DNA thing on you and we'll dial your drugs in.
Exactly. And say, Adam's got the LL serotonin transporter. We're going to double down on his Ambien. But when we do, he's going to get addicted in 4 days. We're going to watch out for that.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Well, addicted to good night's sleep. I say bring it on. Lauren?
Huzzah.
Huzzah, I say to that. And I also say good day to you, sir.
I say good day.
I say good day. Lauren?
Yes?
21?
Yes.
That's my sister's name, Lauren. Yeah.
How about that?
You spell it L-A-U-R-E-N, right?
Yes.
Yeah. My sister tried to do the L-A-U-R-Y-N for about 10 minutes. I was like, I said good day. I say good day to that Y. She's like, no, that's how I'm smelling it.
No,
like,
have your seconds call my seconds.
She's like, that's how I'm smelling it now. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's how you're smelling it. That's exactly how you're smelling it. I'm not falling for this crap. Once in a while, when your J.O. buddies, once the guy you known as Chris for 100 years, once starts being called Christopher or something like that, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
That window got closed and painted shut many years ago.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Next line.
What's the window of opportunity for changing one's name? Before it's an effed up thing to do.
Before I meet you.
No.
Once I know you as whatever, that's it.
If
I meet you when you're 35 and you tell me your name is Christopher, I'll call you Christopher. But if I met you when you were 11 and your name was Chris, your name is Chris.
Yeah, but if Christopher told you it was Stu until I was 31 and I declared Christopher, you'd go, oh, no. Even if you knew him as Christopher, you go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
You can't make any declarations or proclamations after I know you. Whatever, stick your hand out to me and introduce yourself. I also would say
that... First year in nursery school is about as far as you can go before you, you know, nursery school, that's your name. That's it.
I'm with you that's on it. That. I'm just saying if I meet you tomorrow and you tell me your name is Christopher, I have no choice but to believe
you. I got you on that. But I'm just saying if we were going to say if you have changed your name during your lifetime, what's the window during which it's sane and after which it's a sign of problems?
I think anytime you decide that it should change, that means there's trouble.
Yeah.
Thank you. Lauren?
Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was wondering what may cause bleeding from intense sex, and not necessarily rough sex, just very intense.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between rough and intense? What does that mean?
I'm sorry. What do I mean by intense?
Yes. What do you mean?
Just very passionate, very long, like half hour, just...
Yeah, just a banging the bejesus out of her. That's what that is.
Right. You have a...
The guy wasn't punching her in the face while he's doing it, but, you know...
Nearly. Wherever, yeah.
No, he was going after her, you know, penally.
Bleeding after sex is very common, whether you're having rough sex or passionate sex or whatever. It's very common. Obviously, the more you stimulate, and if you have some instability of the lining of the uterus, the more likely you are to get some bleeding. There you go. Doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong. Definitely get pap smears regularly like you normally would.
Maybe a little more lube and, keep it down to, 20 minutes. Lauren?
Yes?
Okay. Maybe you should shorten your sexual stay. Not do it as long.
Is there pain?
I don't want that.
Is there pain with it?
No. It's just I'll notice about like 5 minutes after I'm done, I go up to use the bathroom and I notice that I'm bleeding. And
that's fine. It's
happened two or three times and it started to worry me.
All right. Well, you may have to reel it in just a little bit.
It doesn't. Are you on the pill?
Actually, I'm on the depot shot. I've been on.
Well, the bleeding is. All right. Well, the bleeding is all kinds of irregular bleeding is very common on depot. So that's probably what this is.
Okay. Why are you on the depot shot?
I really like it. I only have to do it every 3 months. I don't have a period. It's very
good.
Now, let me, a lot of women are shut. Wait, because I want to talk to Lauren.
Go ahead.
A lot of women are shut down sexually by the depot Provera shot, but there's a small subset that actually get.
Really?
A little boost from it.
Not experienced that.
Well, Lauren, and those women tend to be very sort of lean and androgenic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
androgenic meaning masculine?
Not masculine, but they sort of respond to male hormones and things.
Lauren sounds like one of them. Lauren.
Yes.
What's your height?
I am about 5'5".
What's your weight?
About 135, 140.
Oh, all right. And do you like being in the presence of men?
I don't spend a lot of time with men. I work in a nail shop, so I pretty much just spend time with my boyfriend when I get to.
Do you? Are you athletic?
I used to be, not so much now.
You work at a nail shop? Even they do like manicures and pedicures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And did the depot affect your sexual functioning at all?
No, I've only been having sex for the last 3 years, and that's just since I've been on the shot.
All right.
And it didn't affect your ability to have orgasm or anything like that?
No, I've never had a problem with that.
Do you work with a lot of crazy Asian broads?
No, actually, we don't have any in our shop. One of
really?
The very few.
Wow. Man, that, I put that right on the sign. Yeah. All right. And
how would you express that?
Well,
round
I mean,
you have to do it tastefully.
You have to do it tastefully. Yeah, we employ only round eyes. And you, oh boy, you work with really stupid chicks? Yeah, okay. That answered me. I have this theory that I put together that these people who work in these settings are even a notch below the hairdressers.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing I figured out. Female hairdressers are sort of borderline retarded in terms of their intellectual prowess. Prowess, I should say. The males are just highfalutin but stupid, but have long on style, short on brains, and very self-important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Some of them.
Yes. They,
well, you're thinking of Jonathan.
Well, I'm thinking of most male hair salon guys, they act like they're working with retarded dolphins for a living or teaching language to children who have no sight or something. Right. Really, they're doing nothing.
Right.
So they act like what they're doing is more important than what they have. Self-important.
Yeah.
The beauticians or the estheticians, the ones who work on the skin and the cuticles and stuff like that, these are people that are sort of below dirt in the stupid department.
Yeah.
I've never met people that know less than these people. I don't know how that works. I mean, obviously, you know how it goes. Well, they didn't... you know what they are? Ooh.
Mm.
You know what they are?
Mm.
They're good-looking chicks who didn't go to the military.
Mm.
Now, let me explain. When your family doesn't have a ton of bucks...
Oh, I see.
And you're some color other than white, and you barely graduate high school, you're going to the military.
Okay.
You're going to the Army.
Yeah.
You don't see the hot blonde chick who's just going in to be a radio operator.
Right.
But if you're something, if you're black, Latina, or whatever, you'll head into the military. This is the white version of that troop who heads to the salon.
Except they're all Asians in there.
Drew, do not crap on my
point.
I'm
just saying. For this particular salon.
The stupid ones are white. Mm. The Asian ones, I don't know what they're thinking. I think they're planning something. But I don't know. I can't confirm that. I am collecting some data. I can't. Okay, you know what? I shouldn't even said that. I already said too much. Don't worry, there'll be answers. The point is I've no. The Asians do it that because that's what they do.
Yeah.
The white chicks are dirt
okay.
dumb,
right.
And that's why they do it.
All right.
But you okay. can't. You can't generalize. That's all I'm saying. Jeremy.
Yes.
26.
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question. I'm a pre-med student at St. Louis University in St. Louis, and mm-hmm. I've been dating this girl for about 2 months now. And I was looking through one of my medical books, and I believe I'm suffering from a really bad case of jock itch, and she won't have sex with me because she's afraid that it might transfer over to her.
Well, what mm-hmm. the heck? How many dermatology rotations have you done, Jeremy? You have no business diagnosing yourself. Even if you did... You need to see somebody because obviously doctors don't take care of themselves.
Mm,
what are you thinking?
No, I was looking through one of my medical books and I just...
Hey, Jeremy, I don't care what you were doing.
Hold on,
it's ridiculous.
What year of med school are you in?
He's not even in medical school. He's in college.
I'm not even in medical school. I'm pre-med.
Oh, well, everyone who's
Jeremy,
not a physician is pre-med. I'm pre-med too.
Even if you had a 3-year dermatology residency under your belt, you would have to go see someone about this condition.
You get it? Under your belt? Jock right. itch?
Yes, it
Come
could
on,
be
buddy.
Jock itch. It could be crabs. It could be toxic epidermal necrolysis. I don't know what the hell. You know, you've got to get this looked at. There are a lot of things that can look like this.
When are you starting med school?
I will start in 2006.
All right. I wish I could put a little money on that.
That means you haven't applied yet.
I have not applied yet.
You have to get in before you can start.
Exactly.
All right, buddy. How you doing? How's your grades?
What's that?
How are your grades?
My grades are doing great. It's about a 3.5 to about 3.6.
Awesome. And that's out of 10, Drew? Why can't we just do that out of 10? Can't we do everything out of 10?
Yeah.
What is it for?
I don't know. I'm still focusing on his
And then someone with
rash.
The over, you know, someone explained that he goes over 4 now.
Yeah. But, Jeremy, I would have you. Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Jeremy, everything should be 0 to 10. Right. And you know what it is. You know, I don't like, then it's like, what do you got? Well, a movie's got 3.5 stars. Or it's got 2 stars.
Minus 4 stars.
And then, well, I get stuff that's minus stars. I got minus 4 stars. And then, like, minus 3. Actually, I think I may have got minus 3.
Have you collected more minus stars than all your recent shows?
Do
you want to check into it? You might
I'm sure
more
if I checked
stars.
Into it, I could find some minus stars. Yeah. I'm already minus a galaxy in the minus star review thing.
You're,
but,
you're becoming a black hole.
Yeah. It's from a vacuum in space.
But Jeremy, listen, I'm being firm with you because you don't treat yourself. Now, there are over-the-counter products, all the antifungal creams, Lotrimin, this sort of thing, that you could try, but they may not work. There's a systemic medication called Diflucan. You certainly can't take on your own. And there are many other conditions that can look like jock itch that are more serious. So amongst them is Krabs.
Ooh.
And that can be transmitted to your girlfriend, so she's right in having you seen by a physician before you do anything. And once you are a physician, you do not take care of yourself.
Well, you would if you had jock itch.
No.
Jock itch. Come on, buddy.
Well, if you have over-the-counter stuff, if you have the stuff that's over-the-counter, you can try, like I said, you can try the Lotrimin and the Lamisil and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You're not a dentist, but you brush and floss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You handle yourself a little bit. You got to handle yourself a little bit.
I'm saying, try the Lotrimin, try the Lamisil.
If I was a doctor, that'd be it. I'd just homeschooling for the kids, never leave the house.
You'd just be doing drugs all the time?
You'd be doing, like, very uncomfortable pap smears on my daughter when she was, like, 17 and stuff. Dad!
Sure.
Hold still.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Going to save that $18 deductible. Hold still. Dad, your makeshift stirrups are giving me splinters. Hold on. That'd be awesome, right, Drew?
Wait, we talked to Jeremy already.
Oh, we did? Yeah, we're going to take a break?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back,
Michael.
Gay?
Michael.
Michael's gay?
Yeah.
Wants to get a surrogate to have kids of his own. He's 19. Hold on a second. Michael?
Yes.
You're 19. What are you... 19-year-olds shouldn't be having ferrets or raccoons to raise.
Right. What are you doing?
It's been a passion of mine just to have kids of my own.
Uh-oh. That's not necessarily a good impulse.
Right.
I mean, to be at 19 and insist upon that as a passion, that's what Michael Jackson does.
Do you have a partner?
No, not right now.
All right.
Hang on. We'll get back to you. We'll see if we can do a surrogate thing. Well, what about it, Drew? Do you think...
Yes, eventually, yes. When he's 25, 28.
No, I just mean in the eyes of the law. There's no... Is there anything on the books or anything that says a 19-year-old gay man can't...
No.
...find a host and put a little seed in her?
I don't see why not.
You should see the look on Drew's puss right now. It looks like my grandma when she's trying to eat and not mess up her lipstick.
Sucking lemons.
She's got a look like, Cruella DeVille over here. What a puss. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get back with Michael and the surrogate question after this.
Oh, yeah.
Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Everybody, let's talk to you while Michael, 19, gay, has a passion for children.
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
So you don't have a partner right now?
No.
But you would like a child?
Yes.
Do you feel that it would be hard to adopt?
Well, depending on my sexual preference, yeah.
That's why that's...
What?
I'm going to try to factor that in.
What is that? Well, I understand what that means.
Well, with me being gay, it's not going to be that easy for me to adopt a child through some type of city board thing.
I agree with that. And I also agree with... I also understand why. I mean, look, let's not be naive here. Better to have a mom and a dad than two dads or two moms. Now, not that stupid thing that everyone does... Oh, you're saying a loving gay couple, a loving working Christian gay couple would not be better than a heterosexual couple where the dad was a pedophile and the mother was Wiccan and practiced Santeria in the kid's crib? Are you telling me with a meth lab and storing the methamphetamine in the kid's diaper? Are you telling me that's better? Yeah. No ass, Sherlock. I love when everyone thinks that they're making a great example by doing these stupid extremes. No, you can't do that. It is the exact, here's the example, the exact same couple. Exact same gay couple, exact same heterosexual couple. Same house, same income, same neighborhood. Okay, now you go heterosexual because you get a mom and a dad. Call me old-fashioned.
And the studies need to be done, though. We don't know that there's a difference. We really don't.
Oh, yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
Sure, we do.
No, we don't.
Look, Drew, weren't your kids raised by two of the same sex?
I don't.
Two of you?
I'm not saying
worse, two of your wife?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying what my preference is. I'm saying that the science needs to be done to see if there actually is a difference in terms of the outcome on kids.
Oh, look, if you have loving parents, you'll be fine.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Better to be a male and a female.
Probably.
Oh, yes.
Probably.
That's I think especially that's for sure.
Well, we know that the females tend to go for unavailable males if they didn't have a male there regularly through their life.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the males tend to have trouble regulating aggression if they don't have a male around. So, yeah. There's
I'm
going to
go way out on a limb and just say I don't have to wait for the dad on this one. But
right.
Does that mean that, you know, Melissa Etheridge and Dyke DuJour could not raise a good child? No.
Right.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They got a few ducats to throw at the problem, and everything will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not sure if that's you, though, Michael, because you're 19.
Well, no 19-year-old.
And you
no
don't have
way.
A partner.
No way, Michael. No way.
Dyke DuJour would be a good porn name. Dyke DuJour. Yeah. So, Michael.
Yes.
No way.
Thank you. Why do you have money to do this whole surrogate thing?
Well, I'm working full-time at a local hardware store, and if that doesn't cover it, I have inheritance that I can access if need to be.
You work at a hardware store?
Yes.
What department?
Hardware.
Okay. What's the difference between a carriage bolt and a toggle bolt?
Toggle bolt is mostly for anchoring. Carriage bolt is there to has a capped top to...
Okay. All right. All right, buddy. You pass that test. Just checking. See, that's how it works. He works at a hardware store.
Yeah.
Yeah. This preoccupation we have with having a kid is not healthy.
How much inheritance do you have coming?
Well, it's a cumulative of about 3 years now. My father got stabbed in the liver when they were working on his kidneys and gallbladder.
What?
And they,
it was a medical malpractice.
Yes. And he over, and I'll probably be getting it within the next couple of years, about $5 million.
Is your dad still alive?
Struggling. And he put me down as his only beneficiary because I'm his only son.
Wow. And he didn't do any of that, you're gay, I'm going to disown you stuff?
No, actually, he is quite understanding.
Wow, that's a good man.
He's a little upset about my preference, but he still loves me no matter what. We sat down and we had a long discussion.
That's a good man.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to hear what happened to him.
Why were they working on his kidneys and his pancreas?
Well, no, they're working on his kidneys and his gallbladder. He has a past or a history of drug abuse, and his liver wasn't as best as it could be. So something happened with his kidneys or his gallbladder, and they're doing surgery on it, and they stabbed his liver on by accident.
Wait a minute. Did he have what's called a portacaval shunt?
I don't think so.
The portacaval makes a hell of a router, by the way. If you work at a hardware store, you'll know they do that. Good belt sanders, too.
It's a huge operation. It's very dangerous that hitting the liver would be just sort of part of the risk of the procedure. I mean, that's not going to get a huge malpractice settlement.
Well, this is all coming from the hospital?
The doctor has had histories of messing up, too.
Yeah, but these operations are highly risky. They're extremely risky to do. and well, things happen.
He's not an attorney or physician. He's just he's 19 year old. He's going to get a few ducats in a few years.
The case has gone to trial or it's been settled?
It's still on process. They have guaranteed that he is going to get money through it. It's just it has not been settled at
not the $5 million. No. No way.
Okay.
No way.
All right. Michael, keep working at the hardware store. All right.
Okay.
And work on having a nice relationship. Yeah, nice, steady
relationship.
Yeah,
and look towards having a child when you're 28, you know, 29.
Right.
When humans should be having other humans, not 19.
Right. You know what a carriage bolt is, Drew?
No idea. I know toggle bolt is a little toggle thing that opens up.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. Carriage bolt is or just regular bolt, like a machine bolt, not a wood screw, not pointed, you know,
flat.
But a machine, you know, like a machine screw, put a nut on the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the end of it, instead of having a hex head like you put a wrench on, it's just smooth.
Oh.
Like a saucer, ground over. See, like a, we put like a basketball hoop up and you put the board.
Yeah.
You see, you don't see bolts hanging out. You'll see like a little smooth hump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you see little round humps.
Yeah, I know what those are.
Yeah, it looks like a little frisbee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you can't,
It's got the thing. It's got a Phillips.
It's no.
Head.
Just smooth.
How does it go in?
It's sort of is a little square inside of it that sort of pulls in and locks in. You tighten it up on the other side. Put the nut on the other side.
Yes.
You see it now, right?
Yes, got it.
Carriage bolt. Got it.
Got it.
Michelle had to explain to Drew what the carriage bolt was. Yeah. Don't believe the lesbian stereotype, but on occasion it hits. Ed. Wait, Michelle just pulled one out of her pocket.
With the wrench.
She wanted to know if you went the metric or standard. 5/16 coarse thread? Yeah, that's good.
What's going on, Ed?
Hey,
No, electrostatic galvanized is good. She wants to know if you went the Galvy one.
Yeah.
Bondurized.
Oh, Bondurized? She has that in her pocket?
She's got them all.
That's awesome.
She got the whole index all the way through. From 3/16 up to an inch and a quarter. What do you want? You want self-locking nut on that?
Oh, of course.
She's... Engineers Michelle's lesbian, so she drags a hardware store behind her.
Is our last caller in there?
Ed?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's happening?
Hey, yeah, okay. I had a question. Last three times my girlfriend has had sex, she's been crying afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say it's because of pain or anything like that. We've been together for about 10 months.
What does she tell you the reason is?
She doesn't give me a reason.
Do you ask her?
Yeah, she pretty much the first time she said because she was happy.
Uh-oh.
And,
I'll tell you, at 18, when that kind of thing starts happening, it makes me concerned that she's kind of checking out of the relationship and that she really...
Oh, really?
They kind of feel, you know, in that intimate moment when they're not really feeling the connection and the excitement about it, it stands out in more bold relief for them and they get upset.
Really?
Yeah. And teenagers and young adults have heard that.
Hmm.
Yeah. The path we would go down normally as well, maybe she was sexually abused and having flashbacks, that kind of thing. And that's always a possibility. But if she wasn't and you're a teenager, you've had a long relationship and suddenly this starts happening, that's a concern.
Well, that sounds kind of weird. Like, well, she's saying, like, that I'm only with her because of the sex, pretty much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She's starting to make noise.
Uh-oh. Yeah. What about her past? What do we need to know? Is her dad around?
Well, her stepdad now. She had a dad before that was abusive.
Yeah. Ooh. Sexually abusive, or?
No, not sexually abusive. Oh, just pretty much verbally abusive, and I think...
She would have trouble staying in a relationship. I mean, that's going to be hard for her.
Ed, you're going to have your work cut out for you. I mean it. It's going to be tough.
I know already.
Where's her dad? Where's your dad? Florida?
No, her dad's in the town next to ours, about 10 minutes away or so.
Right. He's in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
So he's around. Does she see him?
Yeah, she sees him once in a while. He's remarried and he's got another kid.
New family.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you something. That
hurts a woman.
That kills young girls. Yeah. When biological daddy sort of dumps them off with mom and stepdad or whoever you're calling uncle this week is crashing out on the sofa. and moves away, marries a new lady, and then craps out a new kid with the new lady.
That's sort of the ultimate negation of the mom and the daughter.
I don't know. Yes, I completely agree with that. I don't know symbolically that you can do more damage to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there's sexual abuse and there's physical abuse, and that's a good start. That's a good step in the right direction. Yes. But fellas, we're not completing the trifecta here. That's the hat trick is going to be the sexual, the physical, and crap having out the new kid.
Yeah.
But for a young woman in her psyche, you are saying, you know, when dad and mom break up and dad moves out, that's a little scarring. Daddy's abandoning us. But daddy can come around and hang out and be present and all that. And eventually, daddy gets a new woman and you introduce and hopefully you make things nice with the new, you know, smell the hand and make nice with the new woman. But when daddy moves away and has a couple more kids with that woman, you were never born.
Right.
At least not from him. And if you think about it, is there a big difference between other friends of yours who parents live over there and have a couple of kids and you? It's like you have the same relationship. Well, as a matter of fact, these guys live further away.
Is on a very primitive level, and I'm not. This is not to be in any way stereotype, but on a primitive level, you know, a female drive is to find dad and procreate.
Right.
And here's dad leaving that fantasy and going to do that with somebody else.
Right.
And so the mom, who daughter identifies with very strongly, is now negated.
Right.
And daughter is now completely abandoned, and the whole fantasy is ruptured, and that's the end of that.
So then when the boyfriend happens along at 17 or 18, look out, baby. You got a project.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a fixer-upper, and you don't even know it.
Mm. Not at 18.
Can't tell from the outside. Looks pretty good in those tight jeans. You got no idea what's going on the inside. And, you know, they have that sort of retarded aphorism where it's like, look inside. People should be looking at what's inside. Yeah, they should be looking at what's inside. Not how great your heart is, how effed up you may be, and how you're way over your head. You're in over your head on this one.
Yeah. And realize you're not going to solve that with loving her and taking care of her and being a nice guy. Oh, no, 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 no.
And now, guys like... who was we talking to? Ed?
Yeah.
Guys like Ed can be destroyed because the chick like this might drive. I mean, the guys kill themselves sometimes if they get driven, if they're new at it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that can save you with a nutty chick is to have a few notches on your belt and have that feeling of love and loss moving forward.
Yeah, it's not the fantasy of this never ending and being the ultimate.
Right. Is, Ed.
Yeah.
You've been laid before?
Yeah.
This.
Ooh.
What number is she for you?
Two.
She's number three.
Number three.
Yeah.
All
right. Sister, stepsister, and now? Now her?
What?
Okay. That was a knowing laugh. That's a fun
one. One thing before you guys cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about pedophile a little bit more. Pedophile.
Pedophile.
Yeah.
Oh, pedophile. Not pedophile, my story, my movie idea.
I think he wants to get more grist for Michael Narron for cartoons.
I'd like to see one of those cartoons. Yeah. Let's take a break, Drew.
All right.
We'll be back after this.
Pedophile when we return.
All right.
Love Line.
Okay. Oh, wait. My hair.
Oh. We'll be right back.
Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Pedophile.
Yeah.
This is a movie I'm working on. It's really too good to talk about on the air because it's
someone might steal it.
Oh, I'm sure it's already been stolen, but here's the story. It's a movie. It's a feature. Drama. Action. It's got it all. It is, it takes place in the year 2032.
We have hovercrafts and hinges have been outlawed.
Doors all open like apertures. Camera lenses. There's no more hinges and there's no more denim. Those
right.
Two things.
No more jeans, yes.
No more jeans.
Everything's polyester.
Yeah, well, jumpsuits.
Jumpsuits.
Great jumpsuits.
Yes. Rayon.
Get in line. And we all dress the same.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. And it's year 2032.
Except we'll have a Nike check on our chest.
2032.
Yes.
And what we've done with pedophiles is we've put them on all on one island.
We finally taken care of them.
We realized
we didn't kill them.
We're too evolved to kill them, but we were also smart enough to know they can't be cured and they can't be released back into society. So we trapped them all on one island. And this is international as well because it's year 2032. No more countries anymore. No more borders. One national federation.
Of course.
Federation.
Yes.
Federation. We all become one. We all wear the same uniform and stuff. Okay. So we put them all. Make it 2028. We put them all. They're
hell,
all.
It's 2018.
2009.
Okay.
3 years from now. Yeah. We put them all on the same island. And that's where they live. And of course, they break up into smaller tribes. You know what I mean? It becomes like the Warriors, different gangs.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
Because there's the butch pedophiles, and then there's the feminine pedophiles, and then there's, you know, the Canadian pedophiles.
And then we have the evil sort of governmental officials that sort of turn a blind eye to all this and let them fight it out.
Oh, yeah. Every man for themselves.
Oh, yeah, we take good care of them.
They airlift in some provisions every once in a while, but they let them fight like rats for it when they airlift it in there. Okay. Right. Now our story begins. Now, a Cub Scout troop who's going to a jamboree in the Canary Islands, seaplane crashes and into pedophile.
Oh.
Pedophile. Okay. And now here's the story. All filled with young Cub Scouts, maybe a handful of Weebelos just came back from... They use them like appetizers. Came back from this jamboree in the Canary Islands, and of course the father, the one, Stacy Keach.
Yes,
he dies on impact.
Oh, does he?
Dies on impact.
Okay,
but his young son, who's that actor was in here? I got to figure that out.
Picks up the mantle.
Now he used to be an Eagle Scout, but he's since grown his hair out.
Right,
he's got a tattoo,
rebelled against
his father.
In fact, he didn't even go to the jamboree. He was just coming along because dad made him.
Dad made him go along on the jamboree. Now he realizes he has to take control of the troop. Dad is
gone.
He
used the vital skills that he developed as an Eagle Scout.
He's a reluctant leader, but yet he's forced to lead and, yes, falls back on those skills.
Yes.
Now, here's the second story. There's three or four lead troops, and the kids are, you know, guys whose names you know, in the troop of Cub Scouts.
Yeah.
They have had trouble with their merit badges, whether it's tying a knot skinning a rabbit or starting a fire. Of course, as the story wears on, they all have to complete those tasks, not to win a merit badge, but to win life, I tell you. Life, its very self. Precious life, I tell you. Yes?
Yes, yes.
They're on the run.
Yes.
Now, once they land.
Pedophiles.
Now, as they move, as they run through Pedophile Island.
Well, how do they become aware of what they've dropped into?
Oh, they're aware of it.
But what do they encounter that lets them know they're in trouble?
Oh, that's a good... The bones.
That scene will be awesome.
When they find out. Yes, at first they
puppets.
Think...
Puppet scene.
At first... at first... At first they think they've just landed on a deserted island.
Yeah.
And then they smell meat cooking at night.
Yes.
They come up on a fire and they see the pedophile standing around the fire doing the boner puppet thing, the penis, and realize this is pedophile. The Cub Scout, the Eagle Scout, he knows.
Immediately.
Everyone else is like 11 or 12.
Because he knows
about pedophile.
Because the penis marionettes are talking to children.
No, he put it. Well,
yes,
they're doing
their little show in front of the bonfire. Yes.
No, that's important. Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah, and also he's new. He's read the newspapers. He understands.
He
people know there's a pedophile. That's what he realizes.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to stop one of the young Weebelos who's intoxicated by the smell of the wild boar cooking over the open flame. Can't stop him. No! As he steps into the clearing and is devoured by the pedophile orally. Literally and figuratively devoured by the pedophiles. Powerful. Whew. That's where he runs back and alerts the rest of the troop. We're on Pedophile Island.
And they go on the run.
Now they're on the land.
Yeah.
But they're running into the different gangs that inhabit Pedophile Island. All the different ones. Again, like the Warriors.
Mm.
He's able to use a small mirror, the reflective band on his watch, to communicate with a Russian trawler, but they're unable.
No.
What?
It's our man in the submarine with the fancy cars.
I don't know, Drew. No? I think you're going too far now. Trying to tie this in, yeah. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what it is. Aha! These are international waters. The waters around pedophile
whaling.
No.
Oh,
they're a no fly zone. There ain't no boating, no flying. Yeah. They can't be. No one can breach this.
Okay, yeah.
That's where the evil man comes in. Because the evil man who's stateside knows what went on. There's an evil component. It always has to be the evil man.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Here's what it is. The evil man who's stateside, he's in the United States. He knows about pedophile, but he also knows if we rescue these, the world will find out. I'm taking it back. The world doesn't know about pedophile yet. And he knows if we try to stage a rescue of these Cub Scouts and Weeblos, the world will find out about pedophile and be outraged.
And the guy loses presidency.
Right, so he can't let anyone find out.
All right.
And someone is... And then there's the one guy. There's the Coast Guard. He's the maverick.
The good guy.
He's the maverick helicopter pilot.
Uh-huh.
Says kids are in there. They're going to be devoured. Can't. Re-election is coming up.
Won't allow it to be breached.
Won't allow it to be breached. He steals a chopper. Goes on his own.
Uh-huh.
Is able to communicate with the Eagle Scout. I've got to work some of the beats
flesh
out, obviously.
Flesh it out.
Yeah. Obviously, there's going to be some fleshing out to do. But solid base. This is a foundation.
I'd watch that. I think it's a series, not a movie, not a feature.
It's both. It's a movie.
It's Gilligan's Island meets
series.
Lost.
It starts as a feature and then it turns into a series.
Meets Ubangus.
Ubangus Uranus. That's the name of the volcano. Mount Ubangus Uranus. It's rumbling. The gods are mad. We climb to the top of Ubangus Uranus. That way we can see 20 nautical miles. That's where we set our signal fire.
Well, there could be a good troop of local natives there to kind of help out. But they're very primitive and they get spooked and they have to throw somebody in the fire. Maybe one of the kids. Okay. Mm. Lots of opportunities.
Felchman.
Here.
Native Felchman. Indigenous Felchman. This is awesome. Drew, are you writing this down?
This is genius, I tell you.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
We'll be back after this.
We'll be right back.
Anderson's laughing, but Anderson, think about all the times they busted your balls that didn't start with a little jab thrown from Anderson.
I'm just thinking of the commercials, just trying to get to commercials and all the ball busting I put up with. It's funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, there you go. All right, we will take a little extendo break. We'll be back in 22 hours or so. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.